You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 223 of the Shared Security Show. And joining me this week is Mr. Security Awareness, Scott Wright. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, folks.
And of course, we welcome back the always opinionated and sometimes controversial Kevin Johnson.
Sometimes controversial. I hate you, check marks.
Check marks, right? Do you hate checkbox pen testing? I would assume that's what you mean.
No. Check marks is actually a company that I can.
And here we go.
And they have nothing to do with today's topic.
Let's see what I have on my bingo card. Punch him in the throat. No.
Thank goodness that company is not a sponsor.
That is something we need. We need a Kevin Johnson bingo card. Which rude thing did Kevin say today? Bingo.
It'll go on the shared security store.
Yes, that's right. So, yes, and speaking of that, I do have the new shared security sweatshirt. I could tell you that the quality is excellent. This is now my new favorite sweatshirt. It's very comfortable. And you can check
easy
that out
in
the... Yes, easy to sweat in, right? Well, especially where I live, because apparently it's still winter here. So
we just had snow this morning.
Yeah.
You had snow?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what they say about living places it snows, right?
Move.
It's a beautiful day out here.
Well, because you're in Florida, of course, it's always beautiful and humid. But anyway, so let's jump right into our first story. The big news of the week, Elon Musk's bid to take over Twitter for $44 billion. It's a lot of money. Nice. By the way,
that is a lot of money.
I do want to state that because I think there's a lot of headlines that say, well, now he owns Twitter, and technically he does not own Twitter yet until that is passed by the shareholders and, of course, regulatory approval.
There's a lot of stuff he's supposed to do.
Yes. So while he may kind of sort of own Twitter, he really hasn't yet, but he is in the position to do so.
He's still walking through
things.
The Walmart with the Twitter in his cart. That's what's going on right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. He's not checked out yet. Walmart. Yeah. He's
still
in the
have
cart.
To pay. Yeah. The $44 billion. Yes. In his cart. But so, you know, and this is obviously, if you're on Twitter, ironically, a lot of controversy. There's new hashtags of, you know, delete Twitter and all this hate towards Elon Musk. And in fact, and one of the links I had in the show notes was an article on TechCrunch about why this takeover is bad for privacy or could be bad for privacy. And so I thought that was an interesting topic because, as you know, Elon Musk is very he's even said in this was like a 78-word tweet that he said that, you know, he wants to bring freedom of speech back to Twitter. And there's some things that he wants to do, you know, such as open source the algorithm that Twitter uses, authenticate all humans, and so on and so on. So I wanted to get the take of our two co-hosts here to get their thoughts on, is this a good thing, a bad thing? What's your thoughts on this Elon Musk thing?
Well, I'll let...
the least controversial co-host.
I'll let Scott get started.
Yeah,
on this one.
Yeah, I'll get started with nice and slow, and then Kevin can speed things up. But I think there's just, so little information, so much, you know, as you said, so many things yet to be done, right? And whether he'll even be able to do some of the things he's saying he wants to do, it's, you know, kind of like a politician making promises too. So, but, you know, let's assume it all happens, you know, open source everywhere. Well, theoretically can be good if everybody is checking every potential piece of code for vulnerabilities, but how often does that actually happen?
Well, I know Kevin knows a little bit about open source projects, just a little
few. Bit. Been working on them for a while.
And to be clear, what he had said was it was the algorithmic code that he wants to make publicly available. I don't think he wants to open source the entire everything, but
it won't be twitter.gpl.
Yeah, exactly. But that is an interesting take, though, of, you know, obviously, you know, but something this large and this high profile is obviously going to get the attention of lots of people that want to look at the code. What do you think of that, Kevin?
I have lots of opinions. I think that most of the people yelling about it right now are idiots. They may not be idiots in general, but I think they're being idiotic about this.
Ah, okay. Yes.
And the reason I say that is not because I somehow believe that Elon Musk is the savior of the world and will do everything wonderfully. As a matter of fact, as a Twitter user and a Tesla driver, I'm not sure I want Elon Musk in charge of Twitter.
But you love your car. I mean,
I love my car, but I can tell you the idiotic things he says, right? Starting with the claim of pedophilia with the cave divers. Here's my concern. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about all of this before. It's the core message of this podcast, in my opinion, is if you woke up this morning and said, oh my God, Elon Musk is buying Twitter, privacy sucks, we're going to die, you have ignored all of the privacy concerns around Twitter forever. Like, Elon Musk taking over Twitter does not change the privacy concerns, as far as I can tell. And I'm willing to have people say to me, no, Kevin, you missed this thing. Do I believe that Elon Musk is going to read the private messages of people he's pissed at? Yes, I totally believe that will happen. Am I concerned about that? Yes, I am concerned about that. But do you know who else reads the private messages, potentially, of their users that have pissed them off? The people who have access to the private messages on Twitter. Like the concern about Twitter private messages not being end-to-end encrypted, why the heck have you not been talking about that concern for years?
That's been a big concern for a long time.
Right. Yeah. We've worried about it. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it. I think that it is disingenuous. And I have immense respect for the EFF. I have immense respect for groups like that. But I think it's slightly disingenuous to start to claim now that this purchase is bad, acting as if the concerns they're talking about haven't been concerns all along. I'm cool with, hey, it's in the news now, let's leverage that to get attention to something. But everything I've read, well, Elon Musk is going to open source the algorithm, and that's bad because attackers will know how to do. Guess what? Attackers already know how to do that stuff. The attackers, yes, releasing source code enables an attacker to get access to something they didn't have access before, but it also enables you and I and others to look at it.
There's a positive aspect to it, sure.
The entire outrage right now, I think, is disingenuous at best. That irritates me because this is the perfect time that instead of throwing a temper tantrum and taking my bat and ball and going home, this is the perfect time to reinforce the, hey, maybe don't use Twitter to plan an insurrection in the Capitol. I don't know. Let's be very clear. Those idiots, let's tweet what we're doing, jackholes. But Elon Musk is a billionaire that is controversial and people hate him, people love him. My opinion of him is, I'm glad he made my car. Right?
It's so cool tech.
Yeah. Him buying it doesn't bother me, doesn't piss me off, doesn't scare me any more than I was already scared about the privacy concerns.
Except that maybe he'll reprogram your car's horn to sound like a bird or something.
I'd be okay with that. Because I very rarely, if ever, honk my horn because my car is driving for me. So when people cut me off, which is when I would have honked, I don't bother because the car slows down.
The other argument, too, is interesting about he's taking it to a private. They're going to be a private company, right? So taking it off the stock market, no longer publicly traded. In your opinion, does that change anything around terms of service? And remember, we've always had this debate, right? Like, you know, there's a difference between freedom of speech and what the terms of service in a corporation allow for their company. Yep. And this gets into, you know, 230 and all of that, where, you know, companies, tech companies aren't held liable for the content that users post. But is that really going to change anything? I mean, they'll still have terms of service, right? They're not going to allow just any content to be posted.
I think the biggest, even with his, I'm a rabid free speech supporter. Let me be very clear. I am a rabid free speech supporter. I love the idea of free speech. But no, I do not believe that turning it private is going to change anything. Let me be very clear. They'll release their own terms of service. The terms of service will probably be updated. But I don't think that they will be that they are more or less liable. The public nature of the company doesn't change that. I don't believe. I'm not a lawyer. My Facebook law degree does say I'm right, but
But anything that you use, I mean, I look back at like Reddit as a great example. I mean, they allow all kinds of content, but if you read their terms of service, you know, I mean, they even allow pornography. But they still have things that they will absolutely, you know, mods will ban you for. So it's, you know, you're going to have terms either way, right?
Yeah. I think that the biggest concern that I have seen that I can see as a legitimate concern based on Elon buying it over, like I've said already, almost everything I've read, it's the same because privacy is still a concern. This is still a concern. That's still a concern. Those haven't changed. The only thing that I see changing is I think it is likely that Donald Trump's Twitter account will be reinstated. And I believe that all that will do, let me be very clear, what that means is that the noise will go up and the average IQ will go down of the things on Twitter, because I saw an article this. I saw somebody tweeting out about it this morning. They were like, "You know what? If when Donald Trump gets his Twitter account back, because like everybody expects, Elon Musk will be like, I'm free speech, enable these accounts. Trump will start tweeting again, and we will see rambling idiocy being tweeted. And here's the problem: the media and the people who hate him will" elevate his noise level, escalate, you know, amplify, I think is the word I'm looking for. They will amplify his noise level. If we could just ignore the idiocy and stop retweeting it, we'd be good. But the sheer number of people that will retweet something stupid and and inflammatory to be able to say, look at this dumb stuff over here. Stop pointing at the dumb stuff. Like what you're doing is you're walking down the street in Bourbon Street in New Orleans and saying, instead of look at that beautiful architecture, look at the artwork, look at the music, look at the great people. Instead, you're saying, hey, did you see the pool of vomit over there? Everybody look at the pool of vomit. If we could stop pointing at the pools of vomit, things would be better.
Yeah. But see, I have a counterpoint to that, Kevin, with Trump on Twitter. Is he has his own social network now. He has Truth Social, which is a huge success, apparently, right? I saw a thing today that's saying it's the number one downloaded app, even more than Twitter now. So,
and do you know who's downloading it?
Not us.
Not us. All of the left-wing people who want to complain about what's on Donald Trump's social network.
But yeah, anyway, we will see what happens. But nonetheless, exciting times here with Twitter, for sure. So imagine this scenario. You're out of the office unexpectedly, and a colleague pings you because they need access to some system you have credentials for. Now, our listeners would never send passwords over email or Slack, right? But what about your coworkers? How many organizations out there are sending logins back and forth in plain text? Worse yet, how many just store all of their logins on a shared spreadsheet? We all know that human errors are the biggest threat to your organization's security. But did you know that weak or stolen passwords account for over 80% of all data breaches? Now, there are tools out there that can allow you to share credentials, set access permissions, and monitor the dark web for stolen logins. And Keeper Security's enterprise password management platform does just that. Keeper locks down logins, payment cards, confidential documents, API keys, and database passwords in a patented zero-knowledge encrypted vault. and it takes less than an hour to deploy across your organization. Sign up for a Keeper free trial for your organization today and get a free 3-year personal plan. Stop sharing emails and spreadsheets with the keys to the kingdom. Get started by visiting keepersecurity.com/sharedsecurity. So let us jump into our favorite segment, which is Aware Much.
Yes, Tom, we do Aware Much around here, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. This
segment is brought to you by ClickArmor, the first gamified cyber engagement platform that strengthens your security culture where it needs it most. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that after this next story. We talk a fair amount about whether your mobile phone apps are spying on you, whether your social networks are tracking you. But something people don't think about a lot is probably, is their laptop or their hardware actually tracking them in any way? And it's possible because there could be vulnerabilities or misconfigured software, what that we call firmware in your hardware, in firmware in the hardware. This the actual code that starts your operating system of your device. It could actually be, you know, vulnerable in some ways. And some researchers just found a number of Lenovo laptops that had certain vulnerabilities in them that weren't supposed to be there, particularly in the firmware. And it turns out the story is that the firmware was there for manufacturing purposes, I guess to make it quicker or easier to configure stuff and bypass security and all that stuff while you're configuring it. But it's supposed to be taken off the device or removed before it's delivered and sold to people. So it turns out that that didn't actually happen. And as a result, I think security researchers found quite a few vulnerable devices. But what do you guys think? Is this a real problem that we should be concerned about, or what's the impact of that?
This is a huge problem. And the reason I like this topic is because it's one of those things that gets overlooked in terms of patching. You know, we have Windows Update, we have, you know, a lot of prompts and things like that. But I find that a lot of people ignore the pop-ups from HP or Lenovo or whoever manufactures your computer that you need to update the firmware. And the reason I say that is because the firmware, updating firmware is a different process that requires a reboot. It requires you to shut everything down. I mean, it's not just like a regular Windows update that just gets pushed to you. So I think people just tend to ignore that. I mean, ask anybody. It's like, when was the last time you updated your BIOS? And people look at you like, what the hell is a BIOS?
Yeah.
The thing that I think is on top of that, everything you just said is absolutely correct. I 100% agree with you, which is a sign of genius is how much somebody agrees with you. The thing I think is really, really interesting in this article and what happened here was not just that there were vulnerabilities in the firmware, but that two of the drivers that were included were manufacturing drivers that were never supposed to leave the factory.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's like the fact that their build process went with the machine, right? It's, mm-hmm. In my opinion, that's very similar to like when Microsoft's code signing certs got released, uh-huh. right?
The SolarWinds hack. Yeah.
You know, the development process, the elevated access, was it the JTAG ports on the Google Nests that were enabled when the device was pushed out?
That which are really meant for testing, right? Those devices. Those ports are meant for testing during manufacturing, I think, right?
Right. And in this case, it's software that's driving the firmware that shouldn't be accessible, we shouldn't even be able to see. We shouldn't know that Lenovo uses that to build those. We do, we know that, but right. That type of stuff being missed in the distribution build is really interesting to me because that I know. Let me be clear. When I build, or Jason builds a Samurai release, right? There are things we go through and turn off and remove because there's no need to distribute them. We're not worried about distributing them, but we have an entire process that we follow. We're an open source group, right? We're just a bunch of nerds that volunteer our time. Here's a manufacturer of hardware that screwed up in their deployment, right? And release tooling that not only exposes processes they follow that they probably want to keep secret, but also enables an attacker to gain access to things that they shouldn't because this shouldn't have been enabled, right? That,
yeah,
that to me is a bigger deal. I agree with the problem of patching. That's a problem, but this is a bigger, this makes this more unique, more scary if you're worried about the risk, I guess.
Yeah, and there's a couple of ways I look at it. One is either it just their process broke for a while and you know, didn't work, and maybe they caught it and fixed it. How that happens, who knows? Or it could have been a malicious actor getting in, the way the SolarWinds hack happened, where somebody maybe got access to that manufacturing process, made some changes, and screwed up the, you know, the intended removal of those vulnerable things. Either way, it's still more or less a vulnerability in that manufacturing process.
Yeah.
So that's something that everybody should really be aware of. I mean, people might say, what can we do about it? Well, there is actually an advisory out where you can go and get an update to your BIOS, make sure, you know, check your device and see if it's one of the ones that's affected. But as Tom said, watch for the updates from your, you know, computer, the hardware level or the vendor level. Assuming you haven't jailbroken or installed
or removed
or whatever
from your computer.
Watch for those updates and do apply them, because sometimes once you miss it, it can be hard to get back to a spot where, you know, you can actually do the install. It shouldn't be that hard, but generally you want to try and make sure your devices are updated, whether it's at home or in an office, right? If you're using Lenovo devices in the office, you also want to check on these things. So this Aware Much tip was brought to you by ClickArmor, the first gamified cyber engagement platform that helps strengthen your security culture. And even if you already have a subscription to a full service security awareness solution, that's often for compliance reasons, and it doesn't happen very often, maybe once a year, maybe every 6 months. And people generally don't really absorb that stuff. So what's really more effective is to have ongoing engagement with employees. And you can do this for a fraction of the cost of full training platforms using ClickArmor. We have a new 13-week program that you can get into at a very low price, especially for listeners of the Shared Security Show. So just go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity and we'll get you set up. And so that's our Aware Much segment for today.
All right. Well, let's talk about our last story, which is about a ugly t-shirt that makes you invisible to facial recognition technology. I find this fascinating. This is a great story. So researchers at Northeastern University, MIT, IBM, they've designed a shirt that has essentially a kaleidoscopic, I think that's how you pronounce it.
I like that word.
Yeah.
That's a real word.
Yes. A patch of color. Of course, this is a British article, so they spell color wrong. And there's my American.
Hey.
You know, does the Canadian spell color C O L O?
Oh yeah, we put a U wherever we can.
Okay,
we put
Canadians and neighbors.
You know why Canadians put U wherever they can? Because they're so polite, they're always thinking about you.
So nice.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Well, so you can apparently wear this T-shirt, and AI and object detection essentially won't pick you up. It'll ignore you.
You can't.
Well, even more fascinating is the last paragraph in the story that says that the researchers were actually doing this not to help people evade surveillance technology, but to find ways to improve deep learning systems so people don't trick the system, essentially.
Yeah, here's a set of researchers we all need to go punch.
It's the same thing we do with security software, right? We try and punch holes in it. We try and find the ways around.
But I feel that finding a hole in security software so the security software can't be hacked is good. Finding a hole in facial recognition so that we can track people and invade privacy better is not good.
There's the fine line, as they say in Spinal Tap. There's a fine line.
Right.
Clever and
you can't buy the shirt because they're not going to release it. And they're not, even if they do release it, it's not going to help you because they're fixing the problem. This is like being a malware author and creating a piece of malware and uploading it to VirusTotal to see if anybody can detect it. And then being surprised when VirusTotal says nothing detects it, but about 2 weeks later, they all detect it. Right. This is one of those things. I did see a tweet, somebody commented or somebody said that this is great because they don't have to look like a juggalo, the bypass facial recognition. I thought that was a good phrasing, right? Like, yeah, I'm not part of the ICP or whatever. This is the type of thing that I'd really like to see a lot more work on, this type of research, but by people who aren't then going to turn around and hand it to the people doing facial recognition. Like,
yeah, I do too. I think it's fascinating research. I mean, there's been stories too of, you know, people not being detected properly. I mean, there's a huge issue just, I mean, from a racial perspective. Bias. Yes, racial bias. Yeah. That is a major issue right now with this technology.
Yeah. If you're not training it with a diverse enough sample set, that sounds rude to say it like that, but I'm not sure better phrasing. I think this kind of stuff, this is one of those spaces that I wish I had more time to dig into, right? Like, I've always been really fascinated by machine learning and AI and augmented reality and that kind of stuff. And like I've said before, I actually like good facial recognition because it's kind of like my comment about deepfakes, right? I see all the negatives that can happen, but we can't get to the holodeck without having some level of good facial recognition and that kind of capability. Those things are important to have. How do we balance the privacy aspect?
Which is the reason we're living to get to the holodeck. So,
yeah, I want a holodeck.
That's right. Well, with that, that is all we have time for in this episode. But thank you both for all of your comments, controversial comments as well. Much appreciated.
I don't believe anything we said was controversial. No. Everything we said was correct.
Correct and facts. That's right. But as we continue our journey towards the holodeck, we will talk to all of you next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.
Privacy sucks. We're gonna die.